Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
My name is David Noble, and I am honored and humbled to be given the opportunity to guest host live December 23rd, 2024, and tomorrow for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks. Open phones all hour long, 406-294-0970, 406-294-0970. Let me just start with a little bit of good news here. Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy snags Military Commerce Committees in the Senate. This is from the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. Over the weekend, Senator-elect Tim Sheehy announced the U.S. Senate committee assignments late Friday, all but cementing his influence over the nation's military, veterans, and commerce. Montana's U.S. Senator was appointed to the committees on armed services, on commerce, science and transportation, and on veterans affairs. So good news there. Senator Tim Sheehy said, "The opportunity to serve Montana in the U.S. Senate is a great honor. These committee assignments will give me the opportunity to use my background as a Navy SEAL and businessman to put America's warfighters first, better serve our vets, and deliver greater economic opportunity for hardworking Montanans." So good news there out of Senator Tim Sheehy getting some good committee assignments. Senator Daines also landing critical committee assignments. Senator Steve Daines announced this was yesterday that his committee assignments will be the U.S. Senate Committee on Finance, Foreign Relations, Energy, Natural Resources, and Indian Affairs. So the U.S. Senate Committee on Finance, hugely important one. Committee on Foreign Affairs, very important. U.S. Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources, also very important. U.S. Senate Committee on Indian Affairs, very important. So both Daines and Sheehy get some really good committee assignments. Let's go to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, thanks for calling in.
Well, I called to wish you and your crew there and Travis and everybody a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
And a Happy New Year, I hope, for everybody. But I want to address the whole people of the state of Montana. We live in a wonderful country here. We're blessed with the mountains and the snow, and we might have a white Christmas. But the most important thing that us Montanans can do is love one another and not be hateful, to love each other, and to be kind to each other. And I see so much travesty in the world today, and it really bothers me. I don't know if it bothers anybody else, but it's not good. And I've called on this radio when George Carter first started it here in Bozeman, Montana, 20-some years ago. And then Tom Eaglehoff and Shane Metoblin, they took over, and then they left. And now we have Aaron Flint and you, David. And I appreciate that. And I think the people of Montana appreciate you and everybody else that's on, Aaron and everybody that's talking on this radio. But the thing about all of it is this.
Hey, Clint, you got to finish your thought right after this break. Finish your thought right after this break. David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We'll be right back.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're talking to Clint in Bozeman. We've got open phones if you want to call in, whatever you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Call in now. Let's go back to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, thanks for hanging with us.
Well, thank you, and thanks for taking this call of mine.
You bet.
I just want to thank everybody that's listened to me over the years. I'm an old guy of 90 years old. And I want to thank everybody, and I want everybody to love each other, and I want the world to get a lot better than what it is. And what I see coming isn't good, and I'm a veteran, too. I'm a Korean War veteran. And I'm really worried about what's going to happen to some of our young folks here. the way things are turning out. Now, I hope Trump does something. I'm going to politics now. I hope Trump does something that's good for all of us. But in the meantime, in this Christmas and New Year's season, the most important thing that all of us can do in this state of Montana is to love each other and take care of each other and pray for the goodwill of all men. And that's about all I can say, Aaron or David. But I got a question to ask you, David.
Sure.
Do you have an uncle by the name of Lloyd Noble?
I don't. Not that I know of. Is it spelled with a K? Is it Noble with a K or is it an N?
An N.
There's
a K in it.
That's the difference right there.
Yeah, okay. I got you then. Okay, well, thanks, everybody, and be good, and Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year to all the folks in Montana.
Merry Christmas to you, too, Clint. Really appreciate that call and all the calls from you, Clint. Really appreciate it, and especially value hearing from somebody with 90 years of experience like you have, Clint. I certainly value our seniors and their wisdom and experience and knowledge much more than most, I think. So just wanted to throw that out there. Certainly really value your opinion on that. Let's go to line two. We got Bruce in Butte. Bruce, thanks for calling.
Oh, good morning, David, and good morning, Montana. I got three suggestions to help get this country back on track. And the first one isn't even actually a suggestion. It's called the law. It's called the United States Constitution. And right now, this government that we have in Washington, D.C. is way out of bounds from what used to be the constitutional constraints. The framers of the Constitution put chains on the government, which is just people same as you and me, to prevent them from doing all the crap that they're doing right now. Number one, we need to get right on back to the Constitution. Number two, and this ties in with it, there's no such thing as government money. Everything the government does, you know, you hear those PSA commercials about Social Security. This commercial funded at U.S. taxpayer expense. Everything the government does is funded at taxpayer expense. They're reaching into our pockets. And now they're reaching into our kids and our grandkids' pockets. You know,
sure.
They are completely out of control.
Agreed.
And then, while I don't have the 90 years experience of our previous caller, the third point kind of ties in with what he was saying there. I've only got 60-some-odd years. The whole point of this time of year is to remember what Jesus taught. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. You know, whatever religion you happen to follow, First Amendment says you can do whatever you want to do. Okay, fine. But what Jesus taught is, number one, you know, love your God with your whole heart, body, and mind. And number two, and this is a real close second, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you're picking your neighbor's pocket in order to put it in your own, that ain't cool.
Right.
If you're picking your neighbor's pocket, and by definition, picking your own pocket, in order to give away a bunch of free stuff to illegal aliens, people who didn't come here legally, I believe there's a commandment about that, thou shalt not steal.
Yep.
Perhaps we should put that into effect once again. The simple fact of the matter is there's a quote from Thomas Jefferson. I don't think I can get it quite exact, but basically if you're taking money from the future in order to pay for the stuff you're doing today, then it's time to go ahead and break out the pruning knife and cut back on the spending.
Amen.
You know, that's a rough paraphrase, but the men who framed the Constitution, the men who founded this country, they were bloody geniuses. They didn't have smartphones. They didn't have computers. They had candles, coal oil lanterns, and paper books. And they had a lot of time to sit around and actually think. I'm starting to believe that's becoming something of a lost art these days.
Yeah, you know, it's
at any rate.
It's interesting, Bruce, you bring up the idea that these things are, that this is essentially stealing. And I don't know if you caught some of the early morning hours, but I was highlighting Mark Levin last night on Life, Liberty, and Levin was talking about how immoral this spending is and how it's the moral equivalent of stealing your own child's identity and running up a credit card debt on your child's name. And then when your kid turns 18, say, hey, little Johnny, little Susie, Mommy and Daddy stole your identity and we opened up a credit card in your name and we spent the last 18 years running this thing up to max and blowing it on wasteful, fraudulent, abusive spending. Have fun paying it off or doing it to your grandkid. You know, it's immoral. We're stealing from future generations with this blowout spending. We're going to turn this, I mean, this is at bottom what this is. People of older generations, you guys are getting ready to turn over to your kids and to your grandkids, a country that is headed towards bankruptcy and insolvency and financial collapse. And that's where this becomes criminal, or it becomes immoral, is when the idea that we're going to hand this country over to the next generation and they're going to be faced with depressions, financial collapses, currency collapses, control and invasion by China and the CCP. How could anybody sleep at night turning that kind of a situation over to their kids and grandkids? I find this spending immoral. Kudos to Representative Rosendale for voting no on all this spending. Absolutely egregious.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, it really upsets me sometimes thinking about what is it going to be like in the future when all these generations pass away and the youth of our state and the youth of our country have a government turned over to them and a country turned over to them that is on the brink of bankruptcy and insolvency, that's been taken over by the CCP in China because of our financial problems, whatever it might be. It's not going to be a good situation. And how anybody out there that continues to support this federal spending and the federal deficit and the federal debt, how you can look yourself in the mirror at night, or how you can sleep at night knowing that what you are doing is you are running our kids and our grandchildren into a financial collapse, the likes of which the world has never seen. And yeah, you may be dead and gone by the time that that happens, but your kids, your grandkids, your friends' kids and grandkids, other family members and friends and acquaintances, they're going to still be here potentially when this thing falls apart. And if we don't do something now, when we have a chance to do something right now, that chance is going to go away, and our kids and our grandkids absolutely will face some financial catastrophe, whether it's hyperinflation, a collapse of the currency, literal bankruptcy and insolvency, you name it. But it's not going to be, and it's like, yeah, we've all had wonderful lives, you know, living through the 90s and the 2000s and the 2010s in the United States when we had low inflation and strong economic growth and we all had wonderful lives. But unfortunately, can't say the same for the next generation, can we? Because of what this country's done to our debt and the deficit, just totally. And that's why Elon Musk said that CR was criminal, because guess what? It is criminal to steal from your kids. It's absolutely a crime to steal the identity of your kids, take out a credit card in their name and run up the debt. And then when your kid turns 18, hand them the credit card bill and say, have fun paying it back. Mommy and daddy partied for the last 18 years on your credit card. Have fun paying it back. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing at the federal level. And frankly, it looks like we're doing it here at the state level to some extent. Because check this out. By the way, Rand Paul just released this morning his Festivus report, which is an example of all of the most egregious and wasteful examples of federal spending. You know, things like millions and millions of dollars to study shrimp on underwater treadmills, things like millions and millions of dollars for, you know, drag queen story hours in Ecuador and things like that. But it seems like we're doing something similar here in Montana. Here's an NBC Montana article from Sunday, December 22nd, which was yesterday. This just came out yesterday. The Montana Department of Commerce is spending almost $1 million of our dollars on just giving it away, allegedly to promote tourism, but it's just giveaways. Okay, listen to some of this stuff. Two Rivers Economic Growth Inc. is going to get $25,000 of your money. Travelers Rest Preservation Association will get $10,000 of your money. The Omerta Art Syndicate is going to get $25,000 of your money. TFS Community Hall is going to get $15,000 of your money. Kinnexu Land Trust is going to get almost 10 grand of your money. Lewis and Clark Foundation is going to get $4,000 of your money. Merlin CCC is going to get $25,000. Miracle of America Museum, Missoula Downtown Associate, Montana Kayak Academy, Montana Learning Center, Old Salt Co-op, Powell County Museum, Perry County Economic Development, Prickly Pear Land Trust, on and on and on. Almost a million of your dollars now the Montana Department of Commerce giving out to allegedly promote tourism. I know I personally would much rather just have a tax cut, please. It's not all that easy economically anymore after the Biden administration and a bipartisan Congress blew out spending and caused massive inflation. Maybe we could have some of that money back. I've got some stories here about household appliances. We had some calls about how the federal government is completely out of control. Is there a better example of the government, federal government, being out of control other than the federal government trying to tell us what kind of light bulbs we can have in our houses, what kind of engines we can have in our cars, what kind of appliances we can have, what kind of stoves we can have? Who does the federal government think they are trying to tell me what kind of light bulb I can have? Committee to Unleash Prosperity reports that the Biden EPA has officially approved California's ban on gas cars. Remember when, and they start out, and I do remember this. Remember when the media fact checker said we were lying when we said that Biden wanted to ban gas cars? Well, look at this. Breaking news out of CBS News. The Biden administration grants California's waiver to ban sales of gas cars. Trump administration likely to block. Well, that's the good news. At least the Trump administration can come in here and reverse this. But these Democrats are trying to ban gas engines. They're also banning incandescent light bulbs. They're also banning gas stoves. These people need to get thrown out of office even more so than they just were in 2024. Let's go to Kevin in Billings. Kevin, thanks for calling.
So when you talk about government giving away money, you talked about Helena. You talk about Washington. Well, just, how about right here in Billings? Right here. The city council just gave this lube center that's moving, coming into town, is going to go down by Cabela's. They just gave them $180,000 the other night at the council meeting.
For what?
I don't know. Demolition. Or I said, what are you demolishing? Well, the grass. Oh, okay. They gave $125,000 to Taco John's down by Cabela's for landscape.
Why? I don't get why.
Well, because they're in the, quote, TIF district, so we need to encourage development down there and entice them to come down so we give these people money. When the taxpayers already rebuilt the roads down there, we've done all the sewer, the water, the sidewalks, curb, gutter, made it as convenient as possible for those businesses to come in. But so since we've done all that, and then when they do come up, then we give them some more money just for showing up. They get a participation little check. Essentially, and the city council just fine with it.
Yeah,
and so,
well,
if you want to talk about government spending, hell, let's just start right here in Billings.
I agree. Kevin, how are you paying attention? Because good for you for paying attention to the city council. And frankly, I've always wanted somebody to go through the city council budget and just start doing line item strikeouts of wasteful spending. So kudos to you. Thanks for paying attention. And I guess just out of curiosity, kind of why are you paying so close attention? And what else would you tell folks in order to try to prevent city council from wasting money like that?
Well, you know, really what it comes down to is if people will just show up and just you know, shine a light on some of this. I've always said if you could get 10 people to dedicate their time to go to a council meeting and ask questions, you could change it. But you go to a council meeting and there's nobody there. I mean, so you don't stand a chance. I mean, it's really hard to go up against the system, and that's essentially what you're doing. But I mean, there's ways to go about this. I mean, you got to go down and ask questions and you have to raise some of these points, but even one person isn't going to you can make maybe some difference, but at the end of the day, you don't make a lot of difference except just shine a little light on and maybe embarrass them slightly, but that just slides off their back when the next agenda item comes up, because, you know, these people are down there to grease the skids, and, you know, it looks like to me nothing more than just, so different Washington. You know, it's just, they're just greasing the skids, and it happens right here in town, and there's millions of dollars of this stuff gets done here in town that could be questioned, but
No, you make a really good point about how really what we're talking about here is just shining a light on it and exposing it. And frankly, a lot of times that is enough. By the way, folks, please hang on the line if you're calling in, 406-294-0970. We'll pick you up and get you on the show here in just a second. But it's really, really wild when you see that kind of waste going on, even at the local level. And frankly, what happened with the CR last week and how Elon Musk and Donald Trump were able to destroy that was essentially... It really was just shining a light on it and exposing it. Oh, and this was fantastic. I don't know if you folks had heard this, but the Trump campaign managers, La Civita, and then I think the pollster Fabrizio gave a big interview to Politico about the campaign and what how they won, et cetera. One of the things they said in there was the most effective thing they did was literally just playing clips of Kamala Harris talking. Just let Kamala talk, and boy, but the voters just run away. And so it's this exactly what Kevin's talking about there. Literally just go to the city council and look at what they're doing and wasting money on and post about it online, make a YouTube video. Frankly, that probably alone is enough to stop this stuff. Just like Elon Musk and Donald Trump exposing all of the just bogus spending in that CR was enough to stop it. You know, just like the other examples, really, really effective stuff there. Let's go to Jared in Anaconda. Jared, I've only got a minute, but I'll hold you over if you're not done. Thanks for calling in, Jared.
Hey. Well, you did call me a unicorn Democrat, and I definitely am.
Love it.
Which I actually take it as a compliment.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we have a city-county consolidated government over here in Deer Lodge, Anaconda. And so basically the county commission can just raise their hand up and the chief executive can be on his phone and we'll just acknowledge that, yeah, it's going through. We don't have a mayor. And it'd just be, I don't know, just a small example is, and I like money coming from the government to help out like certain things. But they got like $1.5 million to build a water park in Anaconda that only gets used like 2 months a year.
I bet the people of Anaconda would maybe appreciate a tax cut instead of that. Hey, we're up against the break. Hold on with me. I want to hear what else you had to say, Jared, but we got 10 seconds here till a commercial break, so let me throw you on hold. But I really appreciate the call.
This is where Montana talks at. With Lane Nordlund.
Now that President Biden has signed the short-term funding bill, farmers and ranchers are looking to see what information pertaining to agriculture was included. The bill provides $20.78 billion to help farmers and ranchers with disaster losses during the past 2 years. It will also provide $10 billion in economic assistance through a formula laid out in the bill. The legislation creates one-time payments to producers based on 100% of planted acres and 50% of prevented planting acres for the 2024 crop year. The bill also requires USDA to issue those checks within 90 days after the bill becomes law. The payment rates are not final and subject to USDA discretion, but estimates from House and Senate Ag Committee staff break down the following crops like corn at $43.80 a bushel, wheat $31.80 a bushel, and barley at $21.76 a bushel. Those payments should be subject to 125,000 payment limits that could possibly increase to $250,000 for producers who received 75% or more of their gross income from farming. The bill also included an extension of the current farm bill through September 30th of 2025. Passing a new farm bill is 2 years behind schedule already. Dropped from the bill was a provision that would have allowed year-round sales of B15. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble filling in for Aaron Flynn on Montana Talks live on Christmas Eve, December 23rd. I'm going to be here tomorrow as well. Did you guys hear that Santa Claus is going to be skipping over Washington, D.C. because he couldn't find anybody on the nice list in D.C.? Funny joke there at a committee to unleash prosperity. We're talking to Jared in Anaconda. Jared in Anaconda is talking about how the combined city county government there, what, recently blew $1.5 million on a pool. And thanks for sticking with us, Jared in Anaconda.
Hey, yeah, and Merry Christmas before I forget about
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
It's just a problem because our chief executive, he owns like a bunch of houses in town, and it just seems like a lot of the infrastructure is also not being paid. Like, they keep building on the east side of town, and they make it look beautiful. But I don't know how y'all's town is, but we don't have stop signs at a lot of intersections, and there's kids running around on electric scooters and not even paying attention. And it'd just be nice if our town would think a little bit more about the general old infrastructure, because, I mean, some of this town is from 1920, and we don't have stop signs. And I don't mean we need to have four-way stops. It's just kids are not that smart on these scooters. You know, it's just, it'd be nice if people spent money well. And that's where I mean that I'm not against spending money. I own my house. It's bought and paid for. Taxes have went up. But if we could get some infrastructure, I don't mind paying for that. It's safety for the kids. I mean, we've got two schools between here and our work, and kids just roll around on these things. But, and then I wanted to make one quick comment.
Go ahead.
Outlawing gas motors, because that'll never happen. They're just outlawing new motors to be built with gas combustion engines, because I own a 1983 Toyota Hilux, and I'll always be able to get parts for it, and maybe even easier as people quit having them. But they're not outlawing like actual cars.
Just the new purchases. No, yeah. That's right. Hey, Jared, thanks so much for the call. Good points. I'm going to try to get as many calls in as possible. And as much as you all love hearing me monologue, please call in 294-0970. Let's go to Dylan in Lodgegrass. Dylan, thanks so much for calling in.
Good morning, David. How are we doing today?
Good morning. Doing great.
That's good. Hey, Merry Christmas, and thanks for filling in for Aaron this next couple of days.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening, and thanks for calling. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, I found a video on YouTube last night and actually found the news article it was talking about. But you were saying here just a little bit ago about how we having the older generations, as they start, you know, passing away and whatnot, leaving the country in a terrible kind of a circumstance, you know.
Absolutely.
Texas Representative Kay Granger, and I don't know anything about her, you know, as far as if she's any good or not. She's a Republican or whatnot, but she's been absent from Congress since like July because she ended up moving into an assisted living place for a dementia residents, or however, you know, for dementia help and all that. And it's just like, can we not just, well, one, we need term limits, but two, can you not just say, listen, I can't do it anymore? And somebody should have been on top of the ball of that, saying, hey, listen, she's gone. Texas needs to do something and replace her or whatever. But it's just like, what are we doing? This is ridiculous. We have a president in there who's, you know, most likely suffering from dementia or whatever, and then we have all kinds of representatives who are just looking just to, you know, be in office until they're dying breath. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, it's absurd, isn't it? I mean, people like to joke about how Congress is an old folks' home, Congress is a nursing home. And it's like, actually, literally, you've literally got Congress people serving Congress people who are living in assisted living because they have a severe case of dementia. I mean, it's just staggering, isn't it?
No, it's crazy. And then they talk about how young folks just started. They're not old enough to be running the country and everything. And, you know, but we're, you know, working with people who are in their 80s, you know, running the country into a hole. You know, it's just, it's insane is what it is. And I worked in the healthcare industry a little bit, and my brother and sister-in-law still do. And, you know, it's not a joke. I mean, dementia it's a serious problem, but, some of this stuff could almost be categorized as elder abuse or something. It's just ridiculous.
It absolutely is. And honestly, like, I don't necessarily even think of it as an age issue. I know people here in Billings in their 90s. We had a phone call from somebody in their 90s this morning who's absolutely sharp as a tack, still has it, spot on. I know multiple people in their 90s. So to me, it's not an age issue. I mean, you can get dementia in your 40s and 50s, as far as I know. I'm no expert on it. But again, to me, it's not an age issue. It's a cognitive issue. Hey, let's go to Jerry from Terry. Jerry from Terry, thanks for calling in.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I'm riding on the shoulders of a 90-year-old.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
And it happens that I've always believed that where we've gone wrong in my age group is vigilance. The fact that we haven't been vigilant in supervising or requiring our politicians to represent the people, which is what we've elected them to do.
I agree.
I've had employees, many of them, and when someone did not toe the line, there was only one answer, and that is, go somewhere else. Don't let the door hit you in the butt as you go through it. Right?
Right.
The problem is that we have always assumed that people were doing the right thing, and they don't unless you require it. And having taught, I know that children are indifferent to rules unless you enforce them. And what we've got is a bunch of adults that are indifferent to the rules.
So, Jerry, but here's I agree with you, but what would you say to somebody who would counter and say, look, Jerry, I've got a family, I've got a mortgage, I've got a busy job, I've got a career, I don't have the time and the ability to be spending my free time, you know, following up on congressional votes and everything else you'd need to do to actually hold these politicians' feet to the fire?
Well, I would say that. And as now I'm heading into Circle, Montana, I'm going to talk to some people there who are elderly people and say, get your butt out of here and meet with the young people. They are absolutely ignorant of our Constitution. They're ignorant of our history. And it's time for them to become informed.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they are going to inherit, you know, they talk about bankruptcy. The United States was bankrupt in the 1990s. If you were to use the tests that are required of corporations, you cannot run deficits constantly, period.
Right.
Unless you want to be bankrupt. It's time for the people to sit down and take a look around them. We've been blessed with a country which is unique in all the world, given its geography, given its systems. We've got tropical, We've got subtropical. We've got mountains. We've got it. It's now time for stewardship. And that requires us to stop being petty. How much crap do you have to collect? I look around my own home. I've got two pickup trucks. What the hell do I need two pickup trucks?
That's a great point. Hey, we're up against the break. We're up against the break. Jerry, I'm going to throw you on hold. We're going to come to Warren in Malta here for the last. Great call, though, Jerry. Great call, though, Jerry. Got a lot to say about it, but we're out of time. David Noble in for Aaron Flint. Warren in Malta right after this. Oh.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, would you look at that? I almost made it through an entire four-hour Montana Talks radio show without saying that. My name is David Noble with a K. That's Noble with a K. I'm an attorney here in Billings. And you can find me online if you'd like to find me online. I'm on X at LCTRFAN. I'm on YouTube and Twitch at LectureFan. Let's go to Warren in Malta. Warren, thanks for calling.
Hi, David. Thank you. What a great show this morning. You touched all the high points.
Thank you so much. I still wish I had more time to cover some of these other things.
Exactly. I just wanted to compliment the guys who brought up the Ten Commandments. If we'd all just listened to the Ten Commandments, we wouldn't need the government or police or whatever. But something that John Kirk said the other day to me really struck home. He said, before I leave the house in the morning, I sit down and I ask God, what direction do you want me to go in? I think that's the thing that we're all leaving out. We showing up at a city council meeting is great, but let's show up at church first and ask God's help on all of this.
Amen to that. Amen to that. I totally agree 100% with you. Amen to that. Warren in Malta. Spot on. You know what that reminds me of, Warren, is I can't remember who it was. One of our founding fathers, I believe, said, maybe Ben Franklin, said something along the lines of, if men were angels, government would be unnecessary. And I think that's right. If we, of course, men are not angels, but I'm with you, Warren. Go to church more, serve others more, serve the Lord Jesus Christ, serve other human beings. And frankly, I mean, people always say, hey, what can I do? You know, the presidential politics and politics in the U.S. Senate, so what can I do as, you know, little old me? And that's frankly how I feel. I always tell people, look, focus on the things in your own personal life that you can control. Your relationship with your family, your relationship with your friends, you know, whether you read the Bible or not, whether you go to church, do those things. And if we all did those things individually, one by one, that would have a huge, huge impact on our national politics. Let's go to Edward in Missoula. Edward, thanks for calling.
Hi, David. Good morning. I just kind of wanted to call and be an advocate for the MSU Bobcat students. My son's a senior there, and this weekend he went to the game, and apparently the university sold half of the student section tickets for reserved seating, so they didn't have any place to go, and then when they went to the rails, the police were out telling them they couldn't stand there and had to go find their seats, and a lot of the kids had to leave, and a lot of them just got shuffled around and trying to watch the game from places where they could in the stairwells, and I just thought that was in a pretty poor taste of the university to sell out the students that have been supporting them the whole year for the almighty buck.
No kidding. And then were the stands even full? Because I've seen some pictures and it didn't even look like the stands were full. Or did people actually show up?
Well, my son stayed for the entire game. He kind of shuffled around to different places, and he said it was packed. It was oversold and
okay, all right.
It was sold out. So I just thought it was in poor taste that they sold the students tickets to people to pay money when it was the students that have been there supporting the whole year.
Yeah, that's almost as poor taste as what did they do last year? Wasn't it last year they tried to eliminate the marching band so they could sell more tickets? Do you remember that one?
Is just vaguely, but, you know, just having your kid there is just kind of a disappointment that they get all excited to go there and cheer on their team, and the university does that to them.
I'm with
you. Basically, all I wanted to say is just kind of speak for the kids and see what the university maybe had to say about that.
All right. Well, your message has gone out all across the state of Montana, Edward and Missoula, so thank you so much for that. Senator Daines actually put out something on this. MSU alum Daines urges airlines to increase number of flights from Montana for the FCS championship game, which, you know, by the way, I'm a Montana Grizz guy. I don't, you know, I grew up in Manhattan, Montana, which is just, you know, 15 miles from Bozeman. Went to Missoula right after I got out of high school. So, you know, I'm kind of one of those guys where it's like, you know, some of these Montanans will be like, oh, I'll cheer for the Grizz or the Cats. You know, just whoever's still in it, I like them both. I just want to see my – you know what? Unfortunately, oh, I better just stop there. I'll just say this. I'm a Grizz guy. I haven't talked about the MSU Bobcat football team all day long until just now. So you can take that for what you will. But apparently Senator Daines is an MSU alum wishing – for more flights so folks can try to get to the national championship game in Frisco, Texas. Senator Dane says, as you can imagine, the success of this year's team has Bobcat Nation excited and eager to cheer their team on to victory in person. Unfortunately, current air service options to Dallas from Montana in the days leading up to the game are limited and liable to sell out quickly. That's why I'm asking our airlines work to increase service to and from Montana for the big game. So that was nice of Senator Daines to step up to try to help out. Good times there. So anyways, we're here at the end of the show. We've got about a minute left. No more phone calls on the lines. I don't want to close it out. I don't want to close out the show with a news story about how the United States has slipped in its ranking as a free country from 7th in 2000 to 17th. In the 10th edition of the annual Human Freedom Index. We missed having Big Sky Business Journal extraordinaire on the show this morning, but we still got the hot sheet. That was one of the stories in there. Well, I got a lot of stuff I didn't get to. A lot of big sort of big picture, deep dive stuff I wanted to talk about I didn't get to. We'll get into it tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss David Noble filling in for Aaron.
Hey.